Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right into it here. Always great to get the insight and the analysis from Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. On top of the great business news that she delivers every single week for us here, we also get a chance to hear some of her incredible and poignant insight and analysis as well. Evelyn, you were telling me as you're compiling some business news from across the country and across the state, how a lot of businesses are telling a lot of people here, their employees this week in particular, hey, you have free speech, yes, but there are also consequences to the vicious, vile, nasty things that you say as well, right?
Right. Companies across the United States have apparently been issuing warnings to their employees that they won't have a job to come back to today if they post comments celebrating or mocking the assassination of Charlie Kirk. The affected professions seem to be ranging from everybody from teachers to airline pilots. And of course, they mentioned that one of the most prominent one was the firing of Matthew Dowd for his comments, and American Airlines have immediately grounded some employees, and so has Delta Airlines. And Florida's Education Commissioner has announced that they are investigating every report after one school let go a teacher. And there are many colleges and other schools announcing firings because of teacher comments. And you know, I hope parents are really paying attention to this, because I know that that's one of the things that Charlie Kirk talked about, was the impact that the left has been having for decades on education and in the public schools and in the colleges. And you know, they're not teaching a balanced perspective of history and political thought, I guess you'd say, about the Constitution. And I think it's interesting that so many of the responses to this is coming from the education community.
Yeah, I mean, I've even seen it just with people that I know. First off, there's some incredible teachers who are, you know, pro-America foundational values and principles, and I've gotten to meet so many of them that even listen to this show, right? And so we thank them. But yeah, because of these far-left teachers' unions, which have basically become an arm, not just of the Democrat Party, but an arm of the radicalized left, they have been so indoctrinated and twisted in their views that's why you're seeing so many of them that are cheering on and celebrating the murder of somebody that they politically disagree with, the assassination of somebody that they politically disagree with. And yeah, it's like, hey, we as Americans have free speech rights, but if you are going to celebrate the murder of somebody and then imply that anybody who believes what he believes also deserves to be killed, why would you think that you should get to keep your job, especially if you are in a position where you should have the public's trust? All right, back with more right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some scattered showers and storms possible around the area today, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures range from the mid and upper 60s in the Bozeman area to the mid and upper 70s in Billings. For tonight, still looking at some scattered shower chances, mainly early on, followed by low temperature readings back to the mid 40s in Bozeman, mid 50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
This is House Call for Health. September is National Cholesterol Awareness Month, and it's a good time to learn about it and how to avoid high levels that can raise the risk of heart disease. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describes cholesterol as a waxy, fat-like substance made by your liver. Blood cholesterol is essential for good health, and your body needs it to perform important jobs, like making hormones and digesting fatty foods. The only way to know if your levels are high is to get checked out by your healthcare team. So how can you lower your cholesterol? The medical advice is similar to many health issues, issues, lifestyle changes. Make sure you're getting regular exercise. You should also try to eat a healthy diet, including foods rich in fiber, like fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and incorporate healthy fats like avocados, olive oil, and nuts, and quit smoking. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Micro.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, we could talk all day about the violent rhetoric coming out of the left, some of whom are public employees, state employees, teachers, employees with health and human service departments. I mean, people that are in a position of public trust who are openly cheering the murder of somebody they disagree with. And Adam Hertz in Missoula, former city council member, former legislator, I mentioned this on Friday's show. Like, he made a great point. Like, look, if you are saying that Charlie Kirk deserved to die for what he believes, well, people like me agree with Charlie Kirk on most of what he believes. So you are basically saying that we deserve to die as well. So those people should be in no position of the public trust whatsoever when they show that they are that psychopathic to embrace the murder of people that they politically disagree with. Look, there's free speech rights, but that does not cover the consequences that should come to psychopaths holding a position of trust like that. And even if you work for a company has the right to fire you. Anyway, great message there from Evelyn Pyburn kicking things off here this morning. Evelyn, what's some of the good business news that you're out there tracking on this Monday for us?
Well, let's see. Sunset Magazine has recognized Great Falls as one of only three towns they have selected to feature as the best small towns in the West. And the Great Falls Department of their tourism committee did campaign very hard, I guess, to get this recognition and to be included. So they, you know, pointed out things like Great Falls has advanced manufacturing and value-added agriculture to their clean industry, and they're actively engaged with getting companies to come to the community. And another end of the state here, Bozeman's population is projected to grow by 58,600 people from 2025 to 2045 in a report that the city of Billings has issued about how population and housing trends could impact the city over the next couple of decades. And they say that Bozeman's growth shows no signs of slowing down. So if I don't know if you've driven through Bozeman lately, but holy cow, it is an experience.
Oh, yeah.
You don't quit from one spot to another.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's, you know, everywhere you go pretty much in, you know, western Montana, well, in most of Montana, you know, there's still some small towns that in, you know, rural part of Montana that still feel like they used to. But, yeah, as I was talking with some fellow alumni, you know, military alumni that were at this military alumni reunion in Missoula. And they were, of course, you know, some of them haven't been back for 20 plus years. I mean, They graduated, they commissioned as new lieutenants in the United States Army, and then they've been all over the world, deployment, training exercise. And so you barely have time to come back and spend time with your family, let alone, you know, go back to your college and cruise around. So some of them, this was their first time being back in Missoula, and they were like, holy cow, there's so much of this city that is unrecognizable right now.
Yeah, well, Billings is pretty much like that. I realized in looking at some population numbers that since I came to Billings, you know, quite a few years ago, Billings has doubled in population from about 100,000 to almost 200,000, and that's just it's just stunning. And I still find new areas of Billings that I didn't even know existed. So I guess the entire state is just growing, no doubt about it.
It'll be interesting to see the updated demographic information, though, because, a couple years ago, I remember we had a conversation with Jeremy Carl, who's a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute. Because he lives in Bozeman, he's been doing deep dives into some of this demographic information, census numbers, et cetera. And, you know, he was making the point that basically because of the growth in the Bitterroot Valley, which is more conservative, because of the growth in the Flathead Valley, which is more conservative, that Flathead eventually could and may overtake Missoula County with regards to population. But then, so basically you've got, you know, the very liberal population of Missoula County being sandwiched in by the burgeoning conservative populations of Flathead and Ravalli County, and then also the outlying areas as well. And so while Bozeman's population continues to increase, it sounds like they're being, you know, the rate of growth is being outpaced by some of these other areas like the Flathead, for example.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling, I think, that the state is growing so much. And, you know, I mean, I guess it has to be for the best, but I do remember Bozeman being this quiet little agriculture town and going out for breakfast on Sunday morning, and everything was really quiet, and it's really changed.
Oh, going out for breakfast on a Sunday morning? I remember one Sunday morning we thought, hey, let's just stop downtown Bozeman, you know, just go grab a Sunday brunch real fast. Yeah, no, that ain't happening real fast. Everywhere we went, there was like an hour-long wait. By the way, speaking of Bozeman, it sounds like Warrior Taste Fest on Friday night. I was planning on being there. I had a ticket to be there for Warrior Taste Fest, but I had a kids' football game in the Bitterroot Valley to go to. And so, you know, so hey, you got to put family first. You got to do that, especially, you know, when you've served in the military and you've missed so many opportunities with family. So anyway, but it sounded like the Warrior Taste Fest was incredible. In fact, the Yellowstone International Air Show package sold for $11,000 at the auction. Incredible.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
How voters view Donald Trump's presidency easily falls into two buckets. Issues like immigration, border security, and public safety in one. In the other, all things related to the economy. His job ratings for each are quite different. Our Fox News survey shows Trump's weakness continues to be the economy. 39% of voters approve of his handling of it generally. It's 36% on tariffs. And the fewest number, only 32%, are happy with how he's handling the cost of living or inflation. Now, here are his strengths. 47% approve of how Trump is managing immigration. 50% give him a thumbs up on crime. And his best marks, 47% approval, are on border security. It's also his second highest approval ever on any issue in a Fox News survey. The highest, 60% for how he handled the hurricanes in 2017. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Parade.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, along with Senator Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy, and Congressmen Ryan Zinke and Troy Downing, have sent a letter to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum urging the Department of Interior to uphold laws governing grazing permits. The letter stresses concerns over the Bureau of Land Management's decision to allow American Prairie, formerly known as American Prairie Reserve or APR, to convert cattle grazing permits into bison permits on federal lands in eastern Montana. Back in 2022, the state of Montana, ranchers and ranch groups like the Montana Stock Growers appealed the decision, warning it would remove large areas from production agriculture, threaten the livelihoods of farm and ranch families, and set a precedent that impacts all public lands ranchers across the West. The letter argues American Prairie's plan to rewild land with free-roaming bison would have irreversible economic and cultural impacts on rural communities. In 2022, the state of Montana, grazing districts, and ag groups like the Montana Stock Growers appealed the Biden administration's decision to grant a change from cattle to bison grazing on BLM allotments in eastern Montana. They argued the Biden administration violated federal laws, including the Taylor Grazing Act and NEPA, in doing so. That's a look at today's Ag News headlines. Thanks for joining us. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great report there from Lane Nordlund. In fact, they had a longer version that aired in the 6 o'clock hour of the show during the Western Ag Network update about 1 hour ago. If you go back to the Montana Talks podcast, you can listen to that. Some great sound bites from some farmers and ranchers in north central Montana and northeastern Montana talking about the threat of the APR and the American Prairie Reserve. Separately, Evelyn Pyburn also has a headline in the Big Sky Business Journal. Hot sheet, Ag Tour unveils issues. And so, and it was a report about an Ag Tour that was actually sponsored by the Northern Ag Network. We just heard from Lane with the Western Ag Network. Well, the Northern Ag Network and our friends there put on this Ag Tour last week. And I think a headline that I had seen, I think from the Montana Farm Bureau, was something to the effect of Ag Tour shows farmers mostly in support of the agenda coming from President Trump. But yeah, Evelyn's got a report in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning as well. Evelyn, some more news out of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Sounds like they're bringing more common sense on the American energy front, this time ending a very costly reporting requirement.
Yeah, the Environmental Protection Agency is currently accepting public comment on a proposal to end a regulation that has always required businesses to report their greenhouse gas emissions to the government. The regulation requires refineries, power plants, oil wells, and things like landfills to report their emissions with supposedly without risk of penalty to identify high polluting facilities. The EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin called the greenhouse gas reporting program burdensome and unhelpful to improving human health and environment. Removing the rule would save American businesses up to $2.4 billion in regulatory costs over 10 years. The greenhouse gas reporting program is nothing more than bureaucratic red tape, he said, that does nothing to improve air quality. And, of course, the opponents are saying that dropping the requirement risks an increase in emissions since companies would no longer be accountable for what they discharge. And this is just some more ending of regulations that really do nothing but impose costs. I don't think a lot of people understand how much regulation businesses have to deal with all the time. Grocery stores are under a lot of regulatory of scrutiny all the time. Some years ago, I knew a family that owned a, well, mostly a gas station, but it had a small grocery area on the side. And the owner's wife, half of her time was spent in dealing simply with bureaucratic reporting and being prepared to, at the drop of a hat, to, you know, to deal with inspectors dropping by and taking them through, and so they could check out everything. And but it was a, you know, for a small grocery store, it was a half-time job. And you multiply that out, and we as consumers, we pay for all of that. So there's just there's a lot of these regulations that are, it's good that they're going.
Yeah, removing the rule, as you reported here, would save American businesses up to $2.4 billion in regulatory costs over 10 years. We've seen this time and time again where regulatory costs, local, state, or federal, just drive up the cost of everything. On the American energy front, because this is related to American energy and unleashing American energy. Look, Silicon Valley, everybody is in such desperate need for power and for electricity right now that, and even really both sides of the political aisle are looking at nuclear power and nuclear energy in a major way right now. Wyoming is really capitalizing on this front. I saw a headline last week, I think from the Cowboy State Daily, where they're building a uranium refinery in Wyoming. Wyoming already has uranium mines where they mine uranium, and we've got uranium deposits here in Montana. And then now they're working on building a uranium refinery, a new uranium refinery. And then, of course, they're already looking at taking existing power plants that were set to retire and be shut down and convert those into nuclear power plant facilities. And one thing we've heard on that front is that you can easily retrain coal-fired power plant operators to also become nuclear power plant operators. Anyway, Evelyn Pyburn has an update on the nuclear energy front. So, Evelyn, if you can, stick with us for a few more minutes here. We'll come back to you after the Fox News update to give us the latest on what you're hearing on that front. Because, like we've talked about with Colstrip, we need to make Colstrip the energy hub for our region, not only with coal mining, not only continuing coal-fired power, but also we've been talking about small-scale modular nuclear reactors and everything else as well for Colstrip. So we'll get to that here in 60 seconds. Evelyn's able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here. Evelyn, so what are you gathering on the nuclear energy front, especially down in Wyoming?
Well, the Cowboy State Daily, which I might say I'm impressed with their coverage of what goes on in Wyoming.
They do a great job,
Evanston-based nuclear manufacturer Black Mesa Advanced Fission is working with the Department of Defense to produce portable reactors, which it predicts will replace the military's current diesel power generators. The CEO, Joshua Payne, said his company was contracted in January to create tactically mobile reactors for the Army, and these reactors are contained to the size of a shipping container and can produce far more power than the Army's current diesel generators. The military will use these generators to power forward operating bases, communications technology, and to serve in emergency power generators. Black Mesa's project is among a growing list of companies announcing plans to bring nuclear developments to Wyoming. Radiant Nuclear plans to bring a similar microreactor project near Bar None, which I never heard of before, which last week sparked fierce debate between local and state leaders. And I presume that Bar None is in Wyoming, but the reactors, Payne said, will be manufactured in Evanston but won't be operated until they reach an Army test site in Nevada. Payne also touted the way his company is bringing high-paying jobs to Wyoming, and his site will eventually produce up to 100 reactors per year, bringing an expected economic impact of about $3 billion to Wyoming.
Yeah, you're right on that. Cowboy State Daily, they've had some incredible reporting and some incredible coverage covering Yellowstone National Park and more. And sometimes they'll cover stories about Montana. They'll even quote, my show and our website when a lot of the fake news media in Montana refuses to do so. They won't cover that Montana news if it's actual real news with real information that they don't agree with. But the Cowboy State will do it. So it's pretty good. Well, Evelyn Piper, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us. I'd encourage everybody, check out the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. You can get it in your email inbox every Sunday night / Monday morning. Always some great tidbits of information in there. But if you think that thing's great, you got to see the print edition because even on page 2, there is an entire page of just short little snippets of information and business news from all across Montana. So a great source of information. All right, let's see. What do we got coming up right after this? I think we've got the phone lines open for you. Yeah, we don't have a guest coming up until later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. So I know there's a lot of you probably have been waiting to sound off, especially since we had such a busy couple of days on the road last week for Thursday and Friday's show.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, sometimes in the morning I'm doing my show prep and I'm reading a variety of different sources and gathering audio, and our producer Caden's grabbing a bunch of audio for us and everything. And sometimes I'll grab something, I'll read something, and I'll just save it. Maybe we get to it, maybe we don't. But I know, man, if we get a phone call on that topic, this is going to be some great information to add to the conversation. And so I just saw during the break, of course, we got the phone lines open for you, and your phone calls oftentimes will drive the conversation around here, maybe even steer the show in an entire different direction for the remainder of the morning. But anyway, phone lines are open. And so I just saw a note from our producer, Caden, and he says we've got A.W. in Bozeman on the phone lines and apparently wants to say something about Antifa. And A.W., thanks for calling in, because that's one of those stories earlier this morning that I saw about Antifa. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to hold on to this story because this is an important point. So, A.W., thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, nice to talk to you again, Aaron. You know, me and my buddy, we were, Charlie was supposed to be speaking at MSU here soon or something.
October 7th.
And, he's like, do you want to go? I said, hell yeah, I want to go. So that was bad news when I heard that. But the whole thing is such a tragedy. But, you know, it's fueled by these leftists, you know, these people that are protected by the Democratic machine, Antifa. You know, I mean, Trump needs to notate them as a terrorist organization, because they certainly are, you know, and they spawn all this. All this is all Antifa left wing craziness, and the left refuses to acknowledge that they own them. They protect these crazies. And the Proud Boys, you know, all they did was try and protect innocent people from Antifa, you know, throwing frozen water bottles and whatnot. And the Proud Boys are no terrorist organization. They've only been there to protect Trump supporters back in the day. And I think Trump needs to really consider making them a terrorist organization, and quickly.
Well, look, I just shared a post on X here. It's a Federalist.com piece with this headline. After Charlie Kirk's murder, there can be no more both sides-ism. When I hear people throw out this, well, both sides, oh, BS. You know what? Both sides, after the George Floyd nonsense, we saw businesses being burned to the ground. We saw violence all across this country. I think it was Donald Trump Jr. who made the point. You know what? There wasn't one business that was burned down after after this political assassination of this great American patriot, Charlie Kirk. So one side decided to burn down the country. Another side did not. Another side is working to build up the country. But this is the point from this Federalist.com piece. Quote, it is beyond obvious that violent extremism is a spiritual outgrowth of the left's desire for chaos and agitation. It is descended from the left-wing terrorism of the 70s, as both Mark Hemingway and Chris Bray have thoughtfully pointed out. Stephen Miller, President Trump's policy chief, this comes from Political Playbook, over the past few days, he made the point. He said this, quote, the last message Charlie Kirk gave to me before he joined his creator in heaven was he said that we have to dismantle and take on the radical left organizations in this country that are fomenting violence. And he told Fox News, we are going to do that. To your point, A.W., we have got to fundamentally dismantle these radical left-wing terrorist organizations that are fomenting violence in America. It has to happen. I mean, because we saw the way that the left-wing terrorism escalated in back in the 60s and the 70s, right?
And we need to reevaluate this, these NGOs. You know, all that money that comes from Soros and others, you know, goes to funnels through these NGOs. And they say, oh, we can't track anything. They can track everything. They need to go after these NGOs. They should be illegal. And if they want to be legal, they need to show where every dime goes. No more of these bricks showing up on street corners and, you know, cinder blocks and whatever. And I think that's something that needs to happen as well.
Well, and to your point about Antifa, and A.W., thanks so much for the phone call. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. A.W., thanks for the call. But to A.W.'s point here about Antifa, so this was the story that I was referencing earlier. So Sam Faddis, you guys might remember the name. He's been a guest several times on this show before. I first read about him in TheFederalist.com, and then I thought, hey, I should see if I can get that guy on the radio show. Of course, we get him on the show. He's a former CIA operations officer. He headed up the counter weapons of mass destruction outfit for the CIA before he retired after a full career in the CIA. He wrote this. This is the headline on his AND magazine. Tear it out by the roots, ending Antifa. He says, Charlie Kirk is dead. It seems abundantly clear that he was killed by a leftist terrorist espousing the rhetoric and ideology of Antifa and other radical domestic terrorists. Whether this assassin acted alone or as part of a cell remains to be seen. I would add, though, to that point, that TheFederalist.com has another story on their website right now where the author makes a good point that based off of the evidence that we're seeing right now, this Trans-Tifa terrorist may not have acted alone. If you look at a lot of the facts that are starting to now come out, Sam Faddis added this. He says, we can say without hesitation, however, that Kirk's killing should have come as a surprise to no one in American law enforcement or intelligence. We have had abundant evidence for years now of the growth of a massive domestic terrorist infrastructure intent on destroying the republic and employing violence in pursuit of that aim. The anarchists in this country are very explicit about the use of direct action, which includes violence. They celebrate it. They discuss it and describe it and glory in it. But he also, this was the point that he made that was also so very important here. He talked about how highly organized they are. They provide detailed instructions and training to the members of constituent organizations. You can find out online where the police are. You can be told what frequencies to monitor to hear police communications. You can track the precise locations of police aircraft at all times. Members of Antifa don't have to guess how to avoid interception of their communications. They are trained rigorously. They use burner phones. They do not discuss sensitive matters in open channels. They use encrypted messaging services like Telegram and Signal and Discord. Antifa members learn to protect against surveillance cameras, automatic license plate readers, and to scrub the metadata associated with any photographs they take during an action. And so he lays out in particular how Antifa, and by the way, there is a Trans-Tifa group in Salt Lake City, in Utah, where this radicalized transgender activist, and I call him a transgender activist, even though he himself apparently is not transgender. His lover, as they're referring to him, is transgender. And so that's why, but apparently there's this Trans-Tifa organization in Utah that literally has AK-47s on their promotional material. And so that's why a lot of people fully believe that this guy was not acting alone. Evan and Belt says this: there are many leftists that want to ban all things Second Amendment to include muzzle suppressors on guns, but they want all their rights under the First Amendment, but they sure as heck won't put suppressors on their muzzle. Words and ideals that these communists put out do kill, as we just witnessed, and to this point, there has been little to no consequences. Let's see, a message from Jeff and Victor here, going back to our nuclear power conversation from earlier with Evelyn. I'm checking our Montana Talks app messages right now. And by the way, the phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. But Jeff and Victor says this: just wondering how safe those nuclear power generators are in combat. A shipping container-sized nuclear source would be a serious target that might be able to take out a military force. Again, wondering if the risk is worth the benefits. That's Jeff and Victor talking about nuclear power. Yeah, that'd be a great conversation for another day. I'd have to get a good guest on the show who could talk about that and how different these new small-scale module nuclear reactors are compared to the old-school, you know, 1970s-era nuclear technology, especially when it comes to the fact that there's far less waste and far less of a threat for a meltdown and things like that. But yeah, great question. Thanks to our listener there for sending us a message on the Montana Talks app. All right, Stephen Miller, I know I shared his audio on X talking about dismantling these violent radical leftist terror organizations. I'll get that ready for you right after this.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Fox News commentary.
College tuition is skyrocketing, and some college students are finding, let's just say, creative ways to pay it. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. Listen and follow the Fox News hourly update at foxnewspodcasts.com or ask your smart speaker to play Fox News.
College ain't cheap, and it's not getting more affordable anytime soon. And you know what they say, desperate times call for desperate measures. Enter OnlyFans. Reports show students are raking in thousands a month by selling adult content online. In the U.S., OnlyFans creators jumped from 350,000 in 2019 to over 4 million in 2023. Across the pond, a U.K. survey found 22% of students had tried it, with some earning enough to cover their degrees in full. That kind of cash is certainly enticing, but I'd remind these young people that the internet is forever and quick cash is great, but at what cost? Sure, a part-time restaurant or retail job is a lot more work for the paycheck, but there is virtue in an honest day's work that doesn't involve selling your body. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some scattered showers and storms possible around the area today, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures range from the mid and upper 60s in the Bozeman area to the mid and upper 70s in Billings. For tonight, still looking at some scattered shower chances, mainly early on, followed by low temperature readings. Back to the mid-40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Man, we got a great lineup all week long right here with Montana Talks from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Monday through Friday. The best part is your phone calls. You never know what we're going to talk about. You never know who we're going to hear from. But then it's always great. We got some regulars that are with us. Every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. Every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour, David Noble always does a great job with the woke update.
5-9-3-9-4-4. Renewal by Anderson of Montana. 406-259-3944.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, looks like Sandy in Three Forks just called in a message with our producer, Caden, during the break. She says social media says that Ben Shapiro is going on tour in place of Charlie Kirk. Is this true? I don't know or think that he's going on tour in place of Charlie Kirk. Let me just first off say something that I said last week. There will never be another Charlie Kirk, just like there will never be another Rush Limbaugh. But God darn it, everybody sure as heck better try, right? So, look, I know Ben Shapiro took some heat, probably deservedly so, for saying, you know, suggesting that he would replace Charlie Kirk or something. Look, Ben Shapiro is an incredible voice. Don't get me wrong. But he's still no Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk did something, you know, totally different than what Ben Shapiro does out there. But Sandy in Three Forks, thanks for the reminder, because I meant to mention that. A.W. in Bozeman, I mentioned this earlier in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but A.W. in Bozeman was talking about how, you know, he had heard that Charlie Kirk was supposed to be back at Montana State University next month. And I mentioned real quickly, I said, yeah, you're right, October 7th, which is crazy when you think about it, that October 7th is the anniversary of the terrorist attacks in Israel by the Hamas terrorists, backed by the terrorists in Tehran. But A.W., it's important to note that while Charlie Kirk won't be there, the event will go on. Erica Kirk spoke Friday night, and she said all of these Turning Point USA events that are planned, they are going to press forward, and they are going to be even bigger than before. So I don't know about you guys, but I sure want to be there on October 7th at MSU in Bozeman for that event, because I've been at MSU with Charlie Kirk before for one of his events. And so I want to be there for this one to help make it even bigger than it would have been before. So that's still going to be happening. I haven't heard what the speaker lineup is looking like or anything, but let me go to it. This was Stephen Miller here before we run out of time. Stephen Miller, I pulled up the audio. I'm going to just go right into my X account, x.com/Aaron Flint. Here's what he had to say about the need to go after these radical left violent organizations.
There is a domestic terrorism movement in this country. When you see these organized doxing campaigns where the left calls people enemies of the republic, calls them fascists, says they're Nazis, says they're evil, says they have to be removed, and then prints their addresses, what do you think they're trying to do? They are trying to inspire someone to murder them. That is their objective. That is their intent. And when you see online, Sean, as we've seen for the last few days, tape after tape after tape of federal workers, bureaucrats, staffers in the Pentagon, educators, professors, healthcare workers, nurses, celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. These are radicalized people. There is a domestic terrorism movement in this country. And let me tell you something I've not shared with anybody, but the last message that Charlie Kirk gave to me before he joined his creator in heaven was he said that we have to dismantle and take on the radical left organizations in this country that are fomenting violence. That was the last message that he sent me before that assassin stole him from all of us. And we are going to do that under President Trump's leadership. I don't care how, it could be a RICO charge, a conspiracy charge, conspiracy against the United States, insurrection, but we are going to do what it takes to dismantle the organizations and the entities that are fomenting riots, that are doxing, that are trying to inspire terrorism, and that are committing acts of wanton violence. It has to stop. And my message is, to all of the domestic terrorists in this country spreading this evil hate? You want us to live in fear? We will not live in fear, but you will live in exile. Because the power of law enforcement under President Trump's leadership will be used to find you, will be used to take away your money, take away your power, and if you've broken the law, to take away your freedom, Sean.
All said, Stephen Miller.
Yeah, absolutely. Must happen. Will happen. Great words there by Stephen Miller coming from the White House. All right, we got a great guest kicking off the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Then later on, joining us for part of the 8 o'clock hour and part of the 9 o'clock hour, former Turning Point USA Ambassador Braxton Mitchell.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.